What's up, knife freaks, sharpness geeks, and purveyors of stabbing goodness? Welcome to the Knife Freak Show. My name is Jonathan McNeese, joined today by my co-host, Mr. Chase Boatwright.
Howdy ho, how you doing?
I am doing pretty good today. How about you?
Good, good. Survived this week, regardless of some of the knives' best attempts, if that makes sense. Yeah, good start.
One of those weeks where they fought you a little bit, huh?
Yeah, something like that. They certainly didn't want to cooperate the way I would prefer. Mm-hmm. But anyway, how was your week in the shop?
It was pretty good. Let's see, we had fairly eventful week in the shop. We did pretty good as far as just our normal production, but we also had a new to us used machine, another Haas mill delivered Thursday. We were supposed to take delivery of it on Friday, and it showed up. We had the riggers lined up for Friday morning, and that's what the shipment was supposed to revolve around. And then lo and behold, they showed up about lunchtime on Thursday. So it all worked out, though. The riggers actually were happy to come on and do it, and because they had a really busy day planned the next day. And so anyway, long story short, it all worked out. We got it in here, still waiting on hopefully tomorrow or Monday, which when this will probably come out. The electricians are supposed to come out, wire it up for us, and then we're still waiting to hear back from Haas about getting a tech out here to do the, they call it a reinstall, I learned, apparently, when you buy a used machine and need them to come out and do the setup on it, it's a reinstall. So we'll be waiting on that. I'm hoping to get that done by the end of the week and be up and running. We shall see.
Sweet. And you said it was another VF2, right?
Yeah, it's another VF2 SS, just like all the rest of the ones we have, except the one that's not the other used one that I bought that's not a super speed, but it's totally familiar to us. I'm anxious to get it up. And apparently I bought it from one of the resale places, you know, that buys and sells used equipment. And they said it was in a knife shop, and they told me the name, and I don't remember it now. I'd have to look it up what they told me, but it wasn't anybody I recognized. I feel like it maybe is somebody that was doing like OEM work or something for other people, because I didn't recognize, not that I know every company out there by a long shot, but I definitely didn't recognize the name.
Sweet. Well, before I get into my week in the shop, I wanted to, because that's sort of going to lead into our main discussion later, but wanted to share a little news with you guys that I found, or actually was sent to me by one of our listeners. Blade Magazine did an article on it, and it's about Buderus. I don't know how to actually pronounce it. It's a mill over in Europe that is unfortunately closing down, and they are one of the big producers of the 10X sort of steels, 1095, 1084. They also produce 15 and 20. A lot of those sort of basic steels like that. It was a mill over in Germany, and they produced a whole bunch of stuff like that. And they founded, it was like 1731 is when they started steel production in that company. Wow. I don't know if it's the same building, but long time. The company was founded in 1731. They began steel production in 1920. My bad, I read that wrong. But anyway, regardless, they are closing down, and you know, the article was kind of speculating on if that would kind of affect the supply of those sort of generic steels. The biggest thing with those steels is a lot of people use those in Damascus. A lot of like smiths use those in Damascus, especially 1084 and 15 and 20 are very common for bladesmiths to use in pattern welded steel. And so basically what I got from the article was, yes, they are a big supplier, and they do, you know, supply a lot of that stuff to the U.S. and other knife markets. However, they're not the only game in town. This is not like a Crucible situation, where Crucible was the only one making S90V or MagnaCut or, you know, Crewware or something like that. It wasn't a, you know, single source. This isn't like, you know, trademarked. This isn't Coca-Cola. This is, you know, whatever the Walmart brand is, basically. So, like, these are generic formulas that basically everybody can make. They've been around for a really long time. And so the article basically went into the, you know, New Jersey Steel Baron talking about, like, they've already lined up other sources, even though they did get some from Buderus. They're not, you know, they're still going to be able to get plenty from other places. But I did just think it was an interesting thing that, you know, not so long after Crucible, we're seeing another steel mill that's been around for a while that produces for the knife industry kind of go away.
Yeah, it's interesting and, you know, sucks, I guess, just for the industry in general. So, yeah, it's unfortunately, as I think we talked about when the Crucible deal, like the cutlery industry is a very, very small percentage of the overall steel industry. So it's honestly a little scary when we start seeing, you know, start seeing this kind of stuff, because we don't have enough effect, I don't think, on these big steel companies, bottom line, to, you know, to have much leverage. So I'm hoping that we're able to continue to, you know, the trend doesn't continue and we're able to still have plenty of stuff to keep all the supply chains moving, because at the moment I think it's fine. Nothing to be, sky's not falling on us, but it does feel weird. It's kind of weird. At the same time though, like, that's two different countries, you know. Crucible was here in the States, and, you know, so two different countries, all the global economy is all kind of tied together, but at the same time, two separate countries, with that one being in Germany. So, like, it's probably more coincidence than anything. Yeah. But, you know, if it was like a bunch of mills all in the U.S. shutting down or something, it would, you know, that would probably be a lot worse. But, hopefully it's just kind of a coincidence and and we don't see a trend continuing with this, because there's enough things that make this hard without having to worry about even being able to get the basic materials that you need to create your product. So
for sure. Yeah. It's that's sort of why I, you know, wanted to kind of talk about it. It's just, you know, like you said, we're not big enough. We don't have the leverage. We don't have the sway that, like, you know, automotive companies or, you know, aerospace companies or anything like that has over the steel industry. And so we can't really move the needle much if, you know, and apparently that's, you know, sort of how it was back in the day, was, you know, you couldn't really get just bar stock super easily from a lot of these places. That's why a lot of people forged, was because they, you know, got good steel, but it wasn't in a flat bar shape. So they had to flatten it out and make it into a knife like steel. But I mean, I feel like with these high speed tool steels, we'll still be able to get, you know, cause precision ground machine stock and stuff for like A2 and D2 at the very least. I don't feel like it's going anywhere because it's so widely used in the machining world. But, you know, it is still just a interesting, you know, just kind of take mental note in your mind, just kind of keep an eye on it sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We may all be out here going to scrap yards and buying.
Sure. What?
I said, we may all be going out here to scrap yards and trying to buy leaf springs off of old vehicles or something before it's over with. I don't think it's going to come to that. But,
yeah. I don't think so either. I mean, I think it's a long way from that, but yeah. So do you have anything else before I wanted to get into my little rant for the day?
No, not necessarily. I don't think we may at the end, if we have time, I may circle back around to some stuff about that new machine, but this is a good segue into the material stuff, because I believe the part of your struggle this week was with some materials from what you told me. So Why don't you go ahead and enlighten us on that?
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I guess it was probably a month or two ago now, it's all the same in my brain. I, you know, work from home and work usually 6 out of 7 days a week, so it all kind of blends together. But I sold a knife on Instagram. It was a lottery folder, and the guy lived close that won it, so he wanted to come up to the shop and pick it up. While he was here, he was like, hey, you know, could I order some knives for Christmas? I wanted a couple fixed blades for his kids. And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And, you know, I've been working those through the line. Well, the problem comes in is that he wanted navy blue micarta is what he requested. Now, this is one of those things that hasn't really been available, to my understanding, like until recently, is blue micarta. And I actually talked with, I think it was Norplex at Blade Show about it. And they said the reason you haven't seen it up until here recently is because phenolic resin is yellow in color. It's sort of a yellowy amber brown or amber yellow sort of color. And when you mix that with, you know, another, like if you try to put blue dye in there with the yellow, it just turns green. And so, you know, we could always get green, we could get black, we could get, you know, all these other different colors. That's why natural micarta is that sort of amber brown color. It's just, you know, layers of canvas or layers of linen that have that yellowish color that's just sort of natural to it. And so I did my best. And, you know, like I said, there are some options out there available now for blue micarta. I didn't necessarily wasn't able to find navy blue at the moment. The few navy blue ones that I've used in my career were usually inconsistent. There would be like a real dark layer on the outside and a real light layer on the inside. So I didn't really want to go back with that I had tried before. So I decided to try something different. Try to use some blue canvas micarta from a company that I don't usually order from. But I was trying to do something sort of special and do that. And good God almighty, it was a fight just to get three knives handles profiled and shaped. And I told Jonathan, I used, I think, 6 brand new belts for this just handle shaping operation. That is not typical in my process. I don't know what other people do, but I've sort of switched it up, I think, from even when I was working for you and how you kind of taught me. I've started buying 60 grit aluminum oxide belts just for handle shaping. I found the aluminum oxide belts don't clog up and they cut better than the ceramics for at least for my handle material. For blades, I use ceramics. For handles, I use aluminum oxide. And so those aluminum oxide belts are cheaper. They're not $5 a piece or whatever that the ceramic belts are. But still, 6 of those brand new belts for 3 handles is ridiculous. Like, usually I grab 1 brand new one and I'm able to profile all of them that I need. Usually I do 10, 12 at a time. And then I'm able to, with the other half of the belt that isn't, because I usually do that on a horizontal, so it gets like a line around it that's dull, basically. And so I use the other half to do the shaping part. And every one of them just clogged up. That stuff was gummy. It was plasticky. It was it wanted to burn. It didn't want to grind. It just was so bad. I guess that's sort of my, I don't know if I have a point necessarily in this rant. I just wanted to share it. That if you're looking for something that isn't typically available, there may be a reason why it's not typically available. There may be a, you know, there's probably an underlying factor there that you're not necessarily looking for, because from what I understand, how they get the blue micarta is they use a different type of resin. And that's basically what the issue was. I mean, it's still canvas. I still grind canvas all the time with, you know, other like regular OD green canvas or black canvas or whatever else I'm using. So, I mean, it's the same substrate material. It's just a different filler epoxy resin in there. And I'm guessing that was the issue, that I don't know if it didn't set up long enough and it wasn't hard enough or what, but it was miserable to work with. And even hand sanding, it was bad.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask you if you knew what maybe what the difference was and what made it bad, but it sounds like it's the resin. So, yeah, I wonder if it's maybe that it didn't set up long enough, or just that particular kind of resin, whatever. Like, I'm assuming there's a reason that they normally use the resin that they use. So they probably use a resin that's had to make some sacrifices to be able to make it work. And unfortunately, it sounds like those sacrifices resulted in a product that's a lot harder to work with. So,
yeah, to the point where I've got another set of scales in that same color, but I put big X's all across it and said, do not use. It's in my shop, but it will not ever be put into a knife. I may make a fixture with it or something. The only other time I've ever encountered this was actually another piece of handle material from the same company. It wasn't the blue canvas. It was like ivory paper or something like that. And I just thought that was how ivory paper was for the longest time, and so I just avoided it. Still got that chunk of material too, because it was miserable. And so it could be the company and what they're, how they're sourcing their micarta or who their manufacturer is, and I don't know. But I just, good God, I don't know what to say. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
I had to stop and take a break in the middle. Like, I had shaped one knife handle and I was halfway through shaping another, and I had to go sit down. I had been at it for like 2 hours or something at that point, just trying to go real slow and just standing there making like little tiny movements and like, oh, well, it's burning, dip it in water, and get rid, you know, try to go real slow again. And it was just a miserable, miserable time. On a more positive note, though, I did finish up the batch of 10 mudlarks I was working on for DLT and got them shipped out. So that was a plus.
Good. Very good. Yeah, we've actually got a batch of stuff for that promotion, too, that we're working on. I don't think I can reveal what it is yet, but it's something. It's not anything huge, like drastically different than something we've done before, but it is something different than we've done. So should be pretty cool.
Sweet. Yeah, that should be cool. I'm excited to work with DLT. I've never worked with them before, but I know, you know, I've known about them for a long time. I've ordered stuff from them, like a, you know, like I think I mentioned last time, or maybe it was two episodes ago, whatever, that Swiss Army knife I got was from them. But yeah, they're good people, good to work with, you know, super simple, but yeah, I'm excited to see how that goes and excited to see what you are bringing up there.
Cool. Yeah, no, we really like DLT. They're really good dealer. They're a big dealer. They really push the American brands, particularly. They push it. They sell a lot of fixed blades. They're just good folks. We like them a lot. I think you'll enjoy working with them. But on the note of the material that you were talking about, I thought we might kind of jump off of that a little bit and just kind of go into some pros and cons on different materials. Specifically, you know, I think we've kind of talked some, well, we've kind of intermittently here and there talked about different blade steels for, you know, answering questions and stuff like that. I'm thinking more kind of like handle materials and stuff. I don't think that's something we've ever really talked about a whole lot as far as pros, cons, what we like and don't like about them and that kind of stuff. So I thought we might jump off onto that. So I already know the answer to what is not going to be your favorite, but the blue micarta you just worked with. But besides forgetting about that for a minute, what would be your favorite for, let's start with fixed blades. For fixed blades, what's your personal preference?
If it's me personally making, like, you know, what I like best, I like working with it. I like the way it looks. probably be, I mean, any type of micarta. I think people already know that. I like the micartas, but it would probably be black linen is one of my favorites. Or green canvas. What about you?
Kind of torn, honestly, from a looks and from a kind of classiness standpoint. I like micarta a lot, particularly the green canvas. I like natural too. I've never been a big fan of the black. It just, I don't like the way it looks, not of the canvas. I've never been able to, maybe it's just me, but on the ones that I've used it on, I've never gotten it to look, it just kind of looks like dirty and like, I don't know. It just doesn't, I've just never loved the black canvas, but, linen looks good. I don't care to work with it very much, but I would honestly probably go with G10. Like, I know it's kind of a little bit, you know, the redheaded stepchild or whatever in a way, like people kind of turn their nose up at it, but it's a really, really good handle material. So one of the reasons that I like it so much is that unlike micarta, it will not soak up moisture and, if you're clean, for example, if you're cleaning a deer with it or something, like it washes right off. Like it's not going to soak into the pores of the handle the way it will with micarta, because micarta will, I'm sure there's probably some kind of sealer or whatever you could put on it, but just straight up, you know, micarta off of, you know, grinding, hand sanding and all that, it will soak up some moisture and, you know, liquids and stuff. Not to a massive amount. It's not like going to really do anything to it, but just, I don't know. I just like the thought of being able to skin a deer with it or whatever and know that everything's going to wash off and there's not much of it like embedded down into the fibers of the handle itself or whatever. So that, and not that it's ever been an issue, but it's supposedly resistant to even like diesel fuel and stuff like that. Like it's pretty, you know, not literally bulletproof, but it's a pretty bulletproof kind of material as far as things not affecting it. Heat's not going to, I mean, unless it's severe heat, it's not going to affect it very easily. I could be wrong on this, but I feel like that micarta probably, like say actual like fire, like if you held a flame to it, I need to test this one day, but I feel like micarta would probably break down quicker than G10 would with flame. Like I said, I may be completely wrong, but it just,
yeah, I think you're wrong on that. Only because I've thrown like G10 and micarta handles, like old handles that I had to bust off a fixed blade or something, and thrown them into a box, you know, that I was burning in the yard, and the G10 completely, like I had like 50 layers of that handle that I could like piece up and peel.
So it delaminated
versus the micarta kind of just burned. Yeah, it delammed, and the micarta just, it burned on the outside, but it was still solid. And, you know, that's not a truly perfect test.
No, that's pretty good, you know, redneck. I mean, I don't want to stand there with a torch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where the heat was in comparison to both handles, but that's just my experience.
I had with that. I stand corrected on that.
Because I thought it was interesting, because I looked in the fire pit and I saw what looked like a knife handle, and I picked it up and I was like, oh, there's layers to this thing. Like, and just kept picking them up. But you do have a point. I mean, I do think G10 is very stable, like just in general, like it's very stable, very, uniform, also very like consistent each and every time you get G10, it's G10 for the most part. And I mean, you know, you can get a bad batch of G10, I'm sure, but it's very consistent. It always works the same. It's, you know, and it works easily too, which I think is another reason you like it a lot.
Yeah,
like grinding G10 versus grinding micarta, G10 definitely goes away a lot faster, which is one of the reasons I don't like using G10, is because I grind it away too fast and I end up with not enough handle left. Is the main
need a little more
like
touch.
It.
Yeah, and then it's not as easy also to for me, when you're grinding and stuff, because it does grind easier, it's not as likely to burn, especially with something like the linen or paper micarta and stuff. And then, you know, with the other micarta, like, so with like canvas micarta, I like it a lot. And I like that it can, you know, depending on how much you sand it and how you finish it out, it can be kind of grippy. But I don't really like the fact that it can get a little fuzzy around the edges and stuff if you're, you know, where you drill and stuff like that. Like, it's just, you know, there's ways to kind of combat that, but still you don't have to combat that with G10. So for anybody that's never actually worked with any of this stuff, so I'm trying to figure out a way to describe with G10. It's almost like a substance of, if you could imagine like a stick of chalk, but like way harder than chalk. That's kind of the way, like if you had like some really super hard chalk and you started filing on it or grinding away at it, that's the kind of, it's like a chalky, like dust like that, more solid. With most of the different micartas are different depending on what they're made out of. But it's, you know, I mean, like with canvas, to me, I mean, it's like you're grinding something that's basically made of canvas and epoxy, which obviously it is, but that's the way it grinds too. If you can kind of imagine that, it's like, it's a different kind of feel. It's a different kind of dust it creates. It's just definitely not as pleasant to work with for me as G10 is. But I guess we should back up for people that don't know, and explain, you know, you talked about micarta being basically layers of epoxy and it's layers of epoxy and whatever material it is. So if it's linen, then it's layers of linen fabric, basically a bunch of layers, you know, all of these, whatever they're composed of, there is layers of something and epoxy, and then put under a lot of pressure while it cures. So you've got, you know, layers of linen or layers of canvas or layers of paper, that kind of stuff with micarta. With G10, you're dealing with basically fiberglass fibers and epoxy. And to my understanding, it's not necessarily like layers of, or it's like fiberglass fibers spread throughout it, if I'm picturing it correctly, versus like a piece of fiberglass, you know, like a, you know, picture a piece of material or whatever, like a you know, fabric that's fiberglass. It's more, I believe, like the actual individual fibers spread into the, does that sound right? I've never actually seen a, like, behind the scenes of making it, so I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I mean, back to when I burned that one handle, I mean, it was just like layer of layer of layer, kind of looked like, you ever dealt with Bondo mesh, like for a car?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of like that, I guess, consistency. Mm. It was like a mesh type looking thing. And so I think it's made like with sheets of a fiberglass, whatever. I mean, and they were very, very thin, like, layers.
Like a fiberglass mesh. Like, I'm picturing in my head. Okay. So yeah, you're probably right about that. Now that you say that, I'm picturing almost like, if you ever had to get a cast put on, and not that that's fiberglass, but you know how they take like the layers of the gauze or whatever and layer it on there and then put the plaster on there and stuff. That's kind of what I'm picturing, is like thin layers of like fiberglass that are then, so yeah, I guess in that way it is a little more, and that makes sense because now that I'm thinking about it, that's different. Multicolored G10 and stuff, it's obviously got different layers because the different layers are different colors. So yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. I think what you were describing was almost like with the fiberglass pieces being like interweaved would be more like a carbon fiber, like a marble carbon fiber or something.
Yeah. Well, now what I was just totally wrong. What I was thinking was, it's basically like epoxy with just like a bunch of like just shredded fibers that are like just sprinkled in it or whatever. But that's, now that we've talked about it, I think I was just totally off on that. It probably is more like
that. Could be interesting. Sort of like a rag G10.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what that would do. That's, you know, but also, to, you mentioned carbon fiber. That was the next thing I was going to bring up anyway, is because that's another one that's kind of in that same, like, it's a phenolic. It's in that same line. And I'm going to try not to just put out something else that I have to stand corrected on this time. But my understanding is essentially woven layers of carbon fibers that are, you know, because you have the different patterns and stuff, and that comes from them being woven. So again, I assume it's like, and it for sure, I've seen it delaminate. So it's for sure done in layers of, you know, I would assume similar to the GTM, but just a different woven into an actual pattern and using, you know, carbon versus fiberglass. So,
yeah. Yeah, I would.
And it, to me,
that's
works
for like the twill or the weave.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think some of it is just kind of like more random and stuff too. So,
yeah, you've got like the, you know, the marble or the crushed or the, they've got a bunch of different names for all the different types of carbon fiber, but
shred.
What do you think personally of carbon fiber?
I like carbon fiber. It's, I don't practically on a knife handle, I don't think it really gives you much if any added benefit other than the cool factor, over G10. It's a lot like G10 as far as the, not absorbing, moisture and liquids and stuff. You know, arguably looks way cooler. So there's that. And it's, I think it's probably technically a little lighter per, you know, square inch or whatever should be than most G10. So I guess it could give you, if you're looking for weight reduction, it could probably give you just a slight amount of that. Although I think it would probably be so little that you probably wouldn't actually feel it. But unless you're talking about a really big knife handle. But yeah, I like it a lot. It's really tough. It works good other than the fact that it's, you know, it's not as pleasant to work with because it, for me at least, it seems to get like in my skin and like irritate me more than any of the rest of them do. But from an end user standpoint, yeah, I like it.
You want to share your
pretty close to equivalent with what's that?
Do you want to share your trick for working with carbon fiber?
Oh yeah. 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 I haven't hand ground any in a while. So I kind of had forgotten about that, but yeah. And you can actually use this for like G10 technically, since it's fiberglass, it's probably not a bad idea to use it with it either. Trick I picked up back in my construction days when I was installing, fiberglass insulation overhead in acoustical ceilings. If you will take some, keep you some baby powder handy and put baby powder all over, you know, wherever you're wanting to keep it off of you. So primarily, you know, if you're working with it for a knife handle on your hands and on your forearms and stuff like that, that baby powder will help keep most of those little tiny slivers and fibers and stuff. It'll kind of just like slide off your skin and it won't bother you, infect you nearly as bad. So it's, and you'll smell baby powder fresh. So there's that advantage.
You certainly will. I've had a lot of people come into my shop and be like, why do you have baby powder down here? And that's why.
What are you doing, weirdo?
If I'm going to grind some carbon fiber, if I'm going to grind some carbon fiber, I put it literally from elbow down to my hands, and I'm just like lathered up in it and make a big cloud, and you know. But I'd rather do that than itch for 5 days, so.
It works. Yeah, it works. And it will definitely help. But yeah, so from an end user standpoint, I think carbon fiber and G10 to me are pretty similar, except for the cool factor. I'd have to give carbon fiber a nod on that. What do you think about?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm blanking now. What's the other newer phenolic that we've both been using some? Why am I blanking on this? Man, I'm totally blanking.
I'm lost on it too.
It's very similar to micarta, and it's kind of like a cross between micarta. It's more like a paper micarta. I know you use it a good bit. Rich Light. Thank you. Like my brain completely.
Yeah. Sorry.
I told you before we started, my brain was kind of fried. So, yeah, Rich Light. And so tell me, I've used it some, but I don't know a ton about its makeup and stuff. So, do you know enough to speak on it?
I don't know if I know enough, but I will speak on it.
I'll be looking it up while you do.
I know it's 100% recycled paper, basically, and I don't know. I think it's a phenolic, but it could be a different type of resin. But I know that it's, again, very stable, very easily machinable. Like, it's, and I say machinable for a reason. Like, it mills and drills really well, but grinding it can be a chore at times. You need sharp, fresh abrasives. Not to the extent of that blue canvas devil stuff I was talking about, but you definitely can burn it really easy because, like I said, it's a, you're, you know, like we said, it's a paper substrate. You're dealing with layers of paper. And they're very, very thin layers. So, like, if you get, like, the multicolor ones, trying to get those to match side to side is always really tedious. Like, you can, even in hand sanding, you can move some of those lines because you're dealing with very, very tiny layers, like, across the board. And so that's always a challenge. But it does look really cool. It has, like, this sort of almost aged type look to it. And whenever it's all finished out, and it looks really cool. It feels really nice. It's, you know, very stable as far as I know. I mean, I've never had it, like, crack or delam or anything like that. Right. It's, you know, I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I looked it up. I put it in the old Google machine while you were talking, and it sounds basically like virtually the same thing as paper micarta to me. I don't really know. I don't totally understand the difference between it and paper micarta because it says it's a durable, sustainable paper-based composite material made by infusing layers of paper with resin and pressing them under heat and pressure. So, you know, it's used in...
My only guess is to be micarta, it has to be... So, like, when I was saying blue canvas micarta, it's not actually blue canvas micarta if it's not made with phenolic. So, if they're using a different type of phenolic resin.
So, it's the specific type of resin, maybe.
Yeah, that's what makes... micarta is micarta, is phenolic resin, that yellowish amber stuff I was talking about.
Yeah.
So, like, technically, you know, anything that's not made with that is not micarta, even though micarta is a trade name that's owned by Westinghouse. So anything not made by them is not technically micarta, but anyway.
Right.
my only guess is they're using a different resin for their process, or they're just leaning into the, like, the recycled paper aspect is what makes it different than, like, regular paper micarta, because they do look different. Like, regular red paper micarta or white paper micarta or black paper micarta doesn't look the same as the Rich Light versions. So,
yeah it's I, as far as working with it, though, like, I do like it pretty well. It's I actually don't think it's as hard to work with for some reason as the paper micarta. It does do, like you said, it does have it'll burn and stuff quicker than some of the other stuff, but it's not as bad in my experience as the paper, which, to be fair, most of what I've done with the Rich Light has been actual machining and not hand grinding it and stuff. So I can't speak to that as much, but it's a pretty cool material. I like it. I definitely think it's right there on par with the rest of them. In my mind, like, micarta, G10, for me personally, are all kind of on an equal level as far as, like, value on a knife. Like, I don't feel like any of those create more value on a knife over any of the other ones. Other than maybe, like, some of the paper micartas, if you take them to, like, a really nice, you know, or even the linen or the paper, like, depending on the finish you put in it. Like, if you go to a really polished out, you know, super, you know, cleaned up, polished out, finished, then that's a little bit different. But and of course carbon fiber is a step up. It kind of has to be because it's more pricey, significantly more pricey than the rest of them. So
yeah, for sure.
That's I would consider
that's I think upgrade. The main reason that's the main reason I think people consider it, you know, an upgrade, is because makers and companies have to charge more. You know, it is more expensive just because it, you know, the raw price of the sheet, you know, is going to be more expensive.
Right.
But yeah, back to sort of on finishes and stuff. I recently, for any makers out there that are listening and, you know, possibly looking for a little bit of, you know, tips and tricks here and there, I recently discovered, like it hasn't been out there the whole time, pink buffing compound. Mm. And pink buffing compound, as opposed to some of the others, I think it's pink and blue can be like interchangeable, but those are scratchless buffing compounds. So like every other, like black or white or green, they all have sort of a grit associated with them. So they're actually, you know, like on a micro level creating scratches. But with a pink buffing compound, there's no grind lines, for lack of a better word. There's no grit pattern. It's just like a final sort of polish, I guess. And I've really enjoyed using it here recently. Whenever you made stuff by hand, I think you were going for more of like a tactical type of finish. Usually you liked blasted G10 or blasted micarta, sort of more that, user tactical aesthetic. And I've done those too, but like here lately, I've been kind of going up and up on my handle grits and stuff. And I don't go to what some people do, but some makers hand sand them up to like 2000 or something like that. But I've been enjoying kind of getting a little bit into the polish side of things and really enjoying the clarity and the color that comes out whenever I've done that.
Yeah, it's some of that. I mean, I've seen guys do it that it looks just amazing. Like, I mean, it almost looks like a, some kind of like polished bone or something. Like it's like it doesn't even really look like micarta anymore. It looks like something more like solid, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, like a like bone or something like that, like when it's really highly polished. Looks more like
uniform.
That. Yeah so yeah, that's definitely, it definitely does give it a cool look. And that's getting up there for your
like right now what I normally do a little
fancier.
Yeah. Right now, what I normally do is grind them on the grinder, go up to 220 on the grinder, hand sand at 220, 400, and then 1,000. And then I've been hitting them with that pink buffing compound and been really enjoying the results. So, I guess other people will tell me whether they like the results or not. You know, all those knives I just sent to DLT, I did that way. So we'll see, you know, if people like them. So, but yeah, just wanted to make that note while we were here.
Yeah, that's cool. So here's that made me think of a question. Have you tried or thought about trying using the pink compound for buffing your wire edge off when you're sharpening?
I have not.
I'd be curious.
I don't know
that.
How that would work. Yeah.
It might not be aggressive enough. You might have to use a lot more of it, you know, do a lot more to get the wire edge stropped off than you would with like the green, like we use.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of what I'm thinking too, is it might not, it might do something. I just don't know if it would be enough.
I wonder though, if you used it as a second step, you know, if you stropped the edge off, got it completely gone, like without the green rouge, and then went back with some of the pink to get, just if you were wanting a little more polished edge, I wonder if that wouldn't be a pretty quick way to get a slightly more polished edge if you wanted to. That'd be interesting to play around with.
Yeah. Usually when I'm sharpening, I just try not to screw it up, and I don't try to play around too much.
Yeah, I understand that's
where I'm at with sharpening, is just let's try not to screw this knife up that I've already put 12 hours into. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, so it's basically done. Let's do the tried and true, what I know I can do, and not mess anything up. Yeah.
Yeah. You got any more materials you want to talk about while we're here, or rant about, or, you know, anything that's pissed you off?
I'm
as
trying
far
to
as materials?
Think. Well, I mean, we kind of only touched on, I mean, basically we touched on the stuff that we commonly use. I mean, of course, there's all kinds of woods, there's bone, there's, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I've just always, you know, shied away from that stuff because I know what kind of headache it can be. In any kind of like natural materials like that, you know, they're not as stable. You're going to run into a lot more issues with cracking and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, obviously there's tons of other materials out there that are used
I remember,
a lot, you know, but.
Yeah. I remember one, killer beef holder in particular that a guy had, I think he was a good customer of yours, and he had sent in like this special wood. I think it was from the Middle East or something.
Sandalwood.
And, you know, he had sent a couple pieces. What?
It was sandalwood.
Oh, sandalwood. Okay. But yeah, I remember, I think you remade that handle three times, and on the last one, you just kind of said, F it, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yep. I was at the end of my patience. I had to email them and tell them I can't do it. Like it's, I think they all were cracking if I remember right. They
yep.
could yep. not. And so, yeah, that's, I've always, there's obviously tons of natural materials out there. I like the way they look on, like when other people do them, some of them, I don't love all of them. Some of the woods are gorgeous. Some of the bone, a good stag handle done right on the right knife is phenomenal, especially like on traditional slip joints and stuff, like just phenomenal looking. But I haven't been able to bring myself to do much of that just because of knowing what the headache is on it. Another one that we didn't mention real quick is that the talking about the cracking and the problems with it made me think about it is I think it's already kind of come and gone as far as a lot of its popularity, but Ultim, you know, is which is basically a plastic. It's different than the others because it's more of, it's a literal plastic. I think we've touched on this before on other episodes, but you know, I like the way it looks. I think it's kind of cool. I had horrible luck with it on the, not so much when we were actually machining it, but when, like, we'd make a set of, like, say, fixed blade handles out of it and go to put them on the knife. And when we tightened down the hardware, it would crack like nearly every time. Yep. And like, you know, we were only tightening it the amount that I felt like it had to be tightened to be secure. But yet, you know, I see a lot of people using it, so I don't know what I'm doing different than they were doing to keep it from cracking. But it's, yeah, it was another one of those where I, after several tries and all that on it, I was like, I was just done with it. And I think I've still got a couple of pieces sitting out there that maybe I'll revisit at some point for something, but probably not anything that I have to put any hardware in and tighten it down because that, it just, I don't know. Again, it may be something I was doing wrong. I don't know, but it didn't work for me.
Well, I mean, it may be something you were doing wrong, but I do know this, that I don't think my Cardo would have cracked. I don't think Rich Light would have cracked. Nope. I don't think G10 would have cracked. And I know depending on the carbon fiber.
Yeah.
Depending on the carbon fiber, I don't think it would have cracked. Some carbon fiber is worse than others, depending on like if it's the marbled or the, you know, different patterns of stuff. And if it's not like the straight weave would not have cracked. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing on the carbon fiber that when you said that, we didn't really talk about some of the flaws of it. It does have some issues. Again, depending on the weave and that kind of stuff, it can definitely be more so than any of the other ones. It's more likely to delaminate on you. I'm not 100% sure why that is, why it's that much different than the other ones, but it's definitely more prone to delamination. It's also more prone to like chipping out and stuff. Like it will get, you know, like say you're drilling or milling or something, like it can, you know, it's like it catches one of those little, especially like some of the shred and stuff like that. It's like, because it's like little, so the shred or the, there's probably other names for it. It reminds me of like, what do you call it? Like part, we always called it particle board. It's like not plywood, but
I know what you're talking about. Particle board. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. It's comparison. Like plywood, but it's like basically little chips of wood all glued together to create plywood or whatever. That's probably not the technical name for it, but that's what we always called it. It's kind of like that. And so like if something catches, you know, as you're working it or whatever, like one of those chips can like basically kind of break out and then it like chips off or whatever and can create a big gap in your handle. And then, it's also really bad to come with voids in it, way more so than any of the other material that I've seen. And what I mean by voids, I guess it's basically caused by air bubbles, I assume, when it's being, you know, pressed and the epoxy is drying. So you'll have a hand, and you can't usually see them until you get, you know, kind of down to, basically to it's already too late almost. You start really shaping the handle and all that, and a lot of times you don't see it till you get, you know, it may look good, and then you're sanding a little bit more, and then all of a sudden you remove just enough material that it was the little bit of layer that was covering up that little void, and then all of a sudden there's a void, and it's like, well, okay, now they got to deal with that. But and there are ways to deal with that if they're not terrible, but it can be pretty frustrating to for it to be as expensive as it is and to put all that work into it, and then it's got, and honestly, a lot of it has that. There's some of it that's made specifically, that's marketed as, like, you know, no voidless or whatever, and it is definitely a lot better, but a lot of it does have voids in it that you have to deal with.
Yeah, I've definitely ran into that with some carbon fibers, but, like, I don't think I've ever ran into it with, like, fat carbon or, you know, that type of stuff. They're usually pretty dead on, like, everything's good. It's easy to work. It's easy to cut, drill, all that. Like, so, I mean, I guess the underlying thing of all this is, like, you know, back to the blue micarta is, you know, for you makers out there or for you customers out there, be sure you're getting, you know, good, reliable materials that are proven and, you know, will actually do what they're supposed to do. That's all I got.
Yeah, because some of the stuff that's new or cool or whatever, it's not, you know, in a lot of cases, the stuff that's tried and, you know, the stuff that's been around a while and it's used a lot, there's kind of a reason for it because it's kind of tried and true and it's a known, for the most part, a known quantity and, you know, a known thing, and you know what you're getting with it. So,
Like if I'm ordering a new something from a company that's new, usually I'll get like a set of scales or something, like Maker Material Supply recently. I say recently, it was probably a year and a half ago now, but they started working with Vibe Composites is what the company's called. And they do all these really brightly colored micartas that are either linen or jute, which is basically burlap. And, you know, the first time I just ordered a set of scales, you know, less than $10 or something like that for a set of scales, see how it works, and then go from there. Since then, I've ordered, you know, a couple sheets. I've ordered multiple scales because it worked very well. You know, I've used it a lot since then because I know what it did and I know how it worked. And so,
Yeah. And I would love to hear, guys, and put it in the comments, or, you know, if you got a question or something, you can email it to us, which we'll go over here at the end. But we'd love to hear back some feedback on the, for those of you, like Chase said, that are makers out there, hear your feedback, but also, from all the end users out there, what you prefer and what you think is, I'd be really curious to know what people like their preferences and what they kind of like turn their nose up at. In other words, if you look at a knife and it's like, okay, it's got G10 or it's got micarta or whatever, is it like an instant no? Like, nope, that's to it, that it just, you don't like it, or you feel like it cheapens it, or something like that. I'd be really curious to have kind of like a little informal survey here in the comments to see what you guys think, because it's, there's a lot of opinions out there about it. And I think they're all, for the most part, all the ones that we've talked about are good quality handle materials. It's just a matter of, you know, of the preference of the end user. And I'd be really curious to hear some feedback on that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what I was about to say there, but I lost all my thoughts entirely.
That's good. Well, you like me earlier with the couldn't think of the rich light. So on the note of kind of doing like a little mini survey, I do have a couple of things that I'd like to mention on a kind of from our company's personal note. For one, we currently have an actual survey on a few different things listed up on our site right now. And if you go and fill out the survey, you actually get entered to win a McBee that we're giving away. So I would encourage you all to go check that out, and we'd greatly appreciate the feedback on the survey. It's stuff similar to what we're talking about, preferences for blade lengths and materials and stuff like that. It's nothing. It should be all pretty much fun answers, stuff that you probably already have opinions on anyway. So that'd be cool if you'd go and check that out and fill that survey out and maybe win a McBee. The other thing that I would like to get a little bit of feedback on the comments, or you can shoot me a message, a DM or whatever, but I mentioned the new CNC that we got. It is primarily to start to ramp up our fixed blade production, which has been very, very, very spotty so far. I think this is probably the third year in a row that I've been telling people that by the end of the year, we were going to have a whole fixed blade line. And we don't really, we do have, you know, two or three different models that we've been making some sporadically over the last couple of years, but none of them enough to really count, to be totally honest with you. So, but it's been mainly because of machine time. We'd have not had the capacity to do that without interrupting what we're doing on the folders. And I've always tried to prioritize the folders. So, but we're about to make a big push on more fixed blades. So that being said, I'd really like to know what you guys would like to see as far as size, style, that kind of stuff. You can even get into the handle material since we talked about that here, but really be curious about size and style, like whether it be like tactical, you know, blade shape, whatever, all that stuff. Just throw it all at us. I'd love to see that in the comments, or like I said, you can shoot me a DM on Instagram or email the site, whatever. But I'd really appreciate some feedback on that, because I've got lots of different ideas of stuff that I want to do, but I want to kind of know where to focus first and get my ADD under control a little bit with it, because I'm going to be trying to make everything under the sun on fixed blades, because I've been kind of, that's been repressed for a while. I've been wanting to get fixed blades going and haven't been able to do it. So now it's like, I want to do them all, but can't do them all at once. So I'd love a little feedback on where to start. So appreciate if you guys could do that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be interested to know how that shakes out as well, because that's, you know, I've got a bunch of different fixed blade models, and I make sort of a variety of sizes and stuff. So, I mean, and I kind of think I know what the answer is, but I'd still like to be able to, you know, sort of quantitatively be able to answer that. But
yeah, that should definitely be beneficial for you too, since you do a lot of fixed blades. So, but yeah, and sometimes you surprise, like I said, there's been a lot of times with different things where I've asked questions before and I thought I knew the answer and I was wrong. So
for sure. Yeah. I've definitely done that too, where I was like, oh no, this is 100% going to win. But one or two people made me kind of second guess that. So I was like, you know, put it out there. And then the other thing, you know, just takes it by a landslide.
Yep.
You got anything else on material rants as far as, you know, did you want to talk about steel at all or titanium?
I think that's probably a big enough topic for a whole nother episode. And I know we've talked about it a good bit. I believe we've answered some questions on like favorite blade steels and stuff like that, hadn't we? So
yeah,
we've touched on that a fair amount. I wouldn't mind going deeper into it. And if there's specifics that you guys want to know, then, let us know and we'll come up with a discussion about that too. If there's stuff that we haven't covered in the past or that you'd like to hear us talk more about, just let us know.
Yeah, definitely. We could always talk more about steel and different properties and different heat treats and corrosion resistance and, you know, all that fun different stuff. But for now, you got any more closing thoughts?
No, I think that's good. I think we managed to maybe be a little bit shorter than normal today, which is about what we always shoot for, but usually get carried away and run a little over. So being on time today probably be a good thing.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. You guys make sure you hit, like Jonathan said, be sure to go to his website. It's always in the description, and do the poll to get entered into the McBee giveaway. If you have any questions, suggestions, you know, anything like that, knife stories, we're still taking knife stories if you got them. Send them to knifefreakshow@gmail.com with one S, knifefreakshow@gmail.com. That's where you can find us, McNeeseKnives.com, BoatWrightBladeWorks.wixsite.com. Find us on Instagram, Facebook. I don't know. He's probably got a Twitter. I know he's got a TikTok. I don't know what all he's doing, but you know.
Actually, technically we have a TikTok, but it's been inactive for forever. Probably gonna have to just redo a new one. I've been trying to get Amy to do it, but neither one of us has the time to fool with it. We are on X, though. You're correct about that. I don't post very much on there. I get on there and scroll and repost when one of the dealers or something posts on there. I need to get better about actually posting on there. But yeah. And guys, do us a favor, and you know, we've already asked for comments on a couple of different things, but we really appreciate it. The feedback we get and interacting with our stuff, especially on YouTube, is really helpful. You know, we all know that getting engagement on your content helps you. So we'd appreciate it if you could do that. I mean, just, I don't care if it's just a thumbs up emoji or a thumbs down emoji, if you want it, if that's the way you want to go, but something, if you could take 2 seconds and hop down in the comments and just give us a little something. And also particularly on the audio feeds, if you're listening on there, if you could do a review for us, we'd really appreciate it. That also helps us a lot. And we don't really talk about that very much, but we'd really appreciate it if you could take the minute or so that it takes to give us a little review and hit however many stars you feel like we're worth and go from there. So we appreciate you guys and all that you do, but we can use all the help we can get.
For sure.
All right. Well, I think with that, we'll wrap it up, and we're going to be having some more guests lined up here pretty soon. So stand by for that. I've got several people that I've talked to. We just got to figure out the timing. So I think we're going to have some really interesting guests for you guys. So I'm looking forward to that. Hope you guys are too. And we appreciate you and hope you have a great week.
And let your freak flag fly.